Science is interesting, and if you don't agree, you can fuck off.
Yes, yes. Now we're joined in the studio live by AUT's Alan Blackman. How are you today, Alan?
Very well, thank you, Shamina.
That is great. So today we are talking about the one and only Ernest Rutherford.
Yeah, we are indeed. It's given that it's Anzac Day and everything yesterday, then let's fill ourselves a little bit of patriotic pride and talk about some of our great New Zealanders.
Keep it going. Yeah. Okay.
So the example I always use in my lectures is that New Zealand has produced how many Nobel Prize winners? You guys know. Oh. Here we go.
I don't know. Probably not a lot, I would say. Like
five?
Too many.
Too many.
Too many. Too yeah. Many. No, we've had three Nobel laureates.
Okay.
Of which Ernest Rutherford was the first.
Mm-hmm.
And then Maurice Wilkins, and then Alan MacDiarmid. And both Rutherford and MacDiarmid won it in chemistry. Nobel Prize in chemistry. How many Nobel Prizes has China won in chemistry?
More than that, is my guess.
Like, seven?
Zero.
Zero.
Oh. We are winning. Oh. We are winning 2-0. So,
wow.
And not a lot of people know that. So I think that's a remarkable statistic. That
for sure.
Little old New Zealand, New Zealand-born Nobel laureates in chemistry, two. China will no doubt win many Nobel Prizes in chemistry, but for the moment, we're ahead. So they're two remarkable people. We can have a wee chat about Ernest Rutherford today. And he was born way back in 1871 in a little town called Brightwater, just outside of Nelson. And he showed, obviously, remarkable promise in his day, going to university, etc., etc. And going to university was not the norm in those days, as it is obviously today.
Mm.
He was a quite outstanding student at Canterbury, but it still took him two tries to get a scholarship to go over to Cambridge, where he did his PhD with a guy by the name of J.J. Thompson, who was the foremost physicist, I guess, of the time. And so Rutherford started working there in the sort of early to mid 1890s. He completed his PhD over there, and then he started off on his research career by himself. And again, sort of starting off at Cambridge, and then he ended up moving to Canada, and then back from Canada after he'd won the Nobel Prize, back to Manchester, and then ended up at Cambridge for the final years of his career. So, if I again were to ask you guys, what's Rutherford the most famous for? what's the one phrase that you'd associate with Rutherford, possibly?
Splitting the atom.
Here we go. Yes. Here we go. Thank you.
I can tell you that one.
Yeah.
Not so good on my track record for chemistry.
Okay.
Prize winners, but I can tell you.
Yes, that Rutherford split the atom.
Yes, indeed.
Which is what we teach all the kids in school, and it's not really true if we're going to be brutally honest.
Yeah. So we're not. Not entirely right.
So what did he win the Nobel Prize for?
You're asking these questions today.
So if there's 20 questions, I know.
Okay,
so it wasn't for splitting the atom.
No, it wasn't.
Which is probably what everybody thinks.
Right.
But what he did get it for was explaining radioactivity. And so he won the Nobel Prize in chemistry in 1908. He was very surprised to actually win the Nobel Prize in chemistry because he thought of himself as being a physicist. And so he made the sort of famous comment that the fastest transformation he ever knew of was his transformation from physicist to a chemist. And he also famously said that all science is either physics or stamp collecting, which he probably wanted to revise after he won the chemistry prize, I guess. But radioactivity was only discovered in 1896, and Rutherford won the Nobel Prize in 1908. And so he was the guy that basically figured out what was going on with radioactivity, and that radioactivity was basically the breaking up of the atomic nucleus. And that's what it is. And when the atomic nucleus breaks up, you get enormous amounts of energy released, and that's why we have nuclear power and atomic bombs and all of that sort of stuff. So he was the first person to describe, to really understand the process that was going on, because up until that time, people had thought that atoms were indestructible, that they were fundamental pieces of nature and you couldn't make them any smaller. And Rutherford realized that, no, that's not the case, and that part of the atom, anyway, could break apart. And therein lies the process of radioactivity. So that's what he won the Nobel Prize for in 1908. And then he went on and made a further two discoveries that he could equally well have won separate Nobel Prizes for. And the first of that was the structure of the atom. He figured out what the atom was made up of. And he did this by his famous gold foil experiment. Anybody heard of the famous gold foil experiment? You haven't done my first year lectures, obviously.
No, unfortunately not.
So what he did here was he got a sheet of gold foil, and as you may know, if you take gold and hammer it out, you can get it really, really, really thin. And you can get it to sort of a few atoms of thickness by hammering it out. So he had this gold foil that was really, really, really thin. And he shot these things called alpha particles at this gold foil. And these alpha particles are very, very highly energetic things, traveling very, very rapidly, nearly the speed of light. And he shot them at the gold foil. And what he did was measure what happened when he shot them at the gold foil. And he found that the majority of them went straight through. Some of them got deflected at particular angles. And very occasionally, one of them would bounce straight back where it came from. And that was a great experiment. That was simple. A brilliant experiment, and that revolutionized science in the 20th century, because the results of that experiment allowed him to figure out that the atom is made up of a central nucleus, and it's positively charged, and then all the electrons around there occupying the majority of the volume of the atom, and that's it. That's our modern day view of the atom, with a few additions, things called neutrons. But Rutherford was responsible for protons. And naming things protons, finding out where the electrons were, et cetera, et cetera. And then ultimately his students went on and discovered the neutron. So
that's amazing. That's just such a fundamental aspect of chemistry.
Yeah. And you know, people didn't really have a clue what atoms were made up of until then. And it was a little, you know, it was a guy from little old New Zealand who figured that out. Obviously with the help of lots of wonderful students. I think I'm right in saying this, that it's something like at least 9 or 10 of his students went on to win Nobel Prizes themselves, I think. So he's a quite extraordinary.
Amazing.
He had a real dynasty. And the third thing that he was famous for was splitting the atom, or so-called splitting the atom, which I don't think is really the right way of looking at it. What he actually did, he was the world's first successful alchemist. Now, alchemy, what do we know about alchemy?
Oh, you're turning lead into gold.
You absolutely do. That was the whole point of alchemy, was to turn lead into gold. And obviously everybody who tried this in the millennia prior to ours were unsuccessful.
Yeah, I heard they just put goat blood and things onto different elements and just see what would happen a few hundred years back.
Oh,
I don't really think they got much out of it.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But thankfully for the price of gold, they weren't successful. And Rutherford was, in fact, the first person to successfully turn one element to another. And what he did was he turned nitrogen into oxygen. And at the same time, he flicked a proton out of the nucleus. And so this is why people say that he split the atom. But no, it's really not a not technically correct description of what he did, I don't think. He was the first person to change one element into another.
Okay.
And again, absolutely amazing achievement. He should have and could have definitely got the Nobel Prize for those other two achievements as well, the structure of the atom and the transmutation of the elements, shall we say. So perhaps we don't give him enough credit in this country. Einstein was quoted as saying that Rutherford was another Newton. And
wow.
Yeah. So he really was that good. He was above all an experimental scientist. Einstein was not. Einstein basically never did an experiment in his life. He did thought experiments. He sort of imagined himself sitting on light waves and seeing what would happen if he was traveling at the speed of light. That's how he came up with his theories of relativity, et cetera, those sorts of things. And he let other people do the confirming experiments that sort of showed that he was correct, whereas Rutherford was the exact opposite. He was a big experimentalist, and he had all the gear, obviously, at the Cavendish Labs and Cambridge, where he did a lot of his work, because that was the centre of science in those days, sort of Europe, etc., etc. And so a remarkable man, and a man who was claimed at one stage by three countries.
all claimed.
Was it
the Australian stealing?
No, it wasn't the Australians this time. If you go to his birthplace down in Brightwater, they've got a little memorial there, and they've got some replica newspapers from the time when he won his Nobel Prize. Sort of the front pages of a New Zealand newspaper and a Canadian one and a British one, sort of saying New Zealand scientist wins Nobel Prize, Canadian scientist wins Nobel Prize, British scientist wins Nobel Prize. So, but he'll always be a Kiwi. He did return to the country on occasions, but he was instrumental in starting a thing called the DSIR, which was around before you guys, possibly Department of Scientific and Industrial Research.
I feel like I've heard of it. But
that started in 1926. A guy by the name of Marsden, after who the Marsden Grant is named. So again, Rutherford was instrumental in starting that up.
Right. And even though, I mean, from the start of when you told us about his movements, I kind of thought, oh, well, it sounds like he didn't really spend much time in New Zealand. But
no, he didn't, certainly, but he did come back on occasions.
Right.
But he spent the majority of his time in England.
Still did these very important things in developing
absolutely
things in New Zealand.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. So, he's somebody, as I say, possibly underappreciated in his home country, and maybe your listeners should go out and read up about him. Absolute scientific giant. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Great guy. Cool.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, thanks again, Alan, for joining us. You'll be away for a couple of weeks.
But
you will be back after your trip to the Middle East, which sounds very exciting. And I'm very excited to hear all about it when you get back.
For surely.
But yes, safe travels, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Shemina.
See you later, Alan.
Okay, see you guys.
That was Dear Science.